This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are in the middle of some hot and heavy LCS action in Major League Baseball.
It's the leagues.
The players are swinging the bats and hitting the balls. It's baseball here on Major League Baseball.
Why don't they hire us for their promos?
I don't know. I've submitted a bunch of spec versions of their commercials.
Do you think if the Brewers make the World Series, we're going to get Joe Weber back on?
Oh, we got it.
We have to,
we
right?
We got it. Yeah. Just for fun.
We'll get him
for
back
funsies.
On. We'll
yeah.
get him back.
We are, as we just said, in the middle of the League Championship Series. As we're recording this, the Red Sox have just defeated the Astros to take a 2-1 lead in the ALCS.
Commanding.
They crushed Roberto Osuna, which I think, regardless of what team you're a fan of, you can be happy to see Roberto Osuna get crushed. Yeah. And the Dodgers and the Brewers are playing game 4 of their series, which the Brewers currently lead 2-1. So we're going to talk about those series in this week's episode. Before we get to that, as always, want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio for hosting the show. You can support Boardwalk and Ducksnort by visiting ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the support our artists link. That'll take you to Amazon, shop like you normally would. Boardwalk and Ducksnort get a small percentage of the proceeds. Also, a thank you to our distribution partners at offthebenchbaseball.com. I'm sure that Sean over at Off the Bench was very sad to see the Braves bow out in the NLDS. So hopefully it'll perk him up a little bit that we are very grateful to him and the other guys. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm thinking. If you're a Braves fan, mm-hmm. like, how upset are you?
I actually was texting with my good Braves fan, yeah. Scott. You may have been doing the same with Evan. And yeah. I think he was bummed. I think he was bummed to lose to the Dodgers,
sure.
who he does not particularly care for. He said he was rooting for the Brewers. But I sort of think, like, yeah, you can't be that bummed.
You're playing with house money, right?
Yeah, you're playing with house money. I think the thing that is a true bummer for Braves fans or for that series in general was kind of what we talked about on last week's episode, that they did not make a particularly compelling showing in the series overall.
They did not.
With the exception of like that Acuna Grand Slam, yeah. basically every other inning of that series was depressing yeah. for Braves fans.
Yeah, so that, yeah. But I feel like in 2015 with the Cubs, I was disappointed because I got swept by the Mets and were one. This is before they won the World Series.
Right.
But also that whole 2015 postseason, I was like, this is early.
Yeah.
And look at all these young guys. So yeah. I feel like the Braves, yeah, you can be pumped, but I feel like the Nationals are probably going to be a little weaker. The Phillies, I think, will be a little bit of a threat, but the Marlins and Mets won't be. Like, that division is like, it's good. It feels very much like the Cubs in 2015.
They're
going to be in contention for a while.
They're set up well, and they're also set up. It feels like they have very clear needs in the
sure.
off season.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're aggressive in adding a frontline starter, and potentially like one more, like a third base bat or something like that, then I think Braves fans like. I guess the flaws that were exposed in the Braves are like not widespread. It's not like they still have those young players and
yeah.
now their needs are in even sharper relief, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. And they got this far without trying to make any splashy moves.
Right.
So now the only letdown, I guess, will be is if they continue as if they're a year away.
Yeah, right. If they don't add a couple pitchers or yeah. something like that.
All right. So that's been Braves Talk.
This has been another episode of Braves Talk.
So the Braves are out of it. Who cares about the Braves?
Yeah, not me. No. So let's start, I guess, with the Red Sox Astros series, since we know where that series stands at that point.
I see.
At this point,
it will be the same now as when it's released.
Yes. What are your? What do you have any sort of general thoughts? The Red Sox are up 2-1, but it is like a bit counterintuitive because I feel like the Red Sox at various points have felt shakier than the Astros have in this series.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
They've looked more vulnerable.
Yeah. Is that just because the Astros have the defending championship sheen? Or is it maybe it's a carryover from the first round as well, where the Red Sox had pitching issues. Those pitching issues have definitively not been solved through the first three games of this championship series.
I think that's what it is. I think that just the Red Sox are so good that they can appear. It feels kind of like the Dodgers last year, right? Like they're so good.
You mean the Astros?
No, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox are so. No, you said Red Sox, but I'm not following.
Red Sox are so good that they can be shaky in a couple areas, but the rest of the team is so good that they can still be up 2-1 against the Astros.
Yeah, sure.
And the Dodgers felt like that last year, where like if their starting pitcher wasn't working, if their bullpen wasn't working, they were so good and so rounded that they're still winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you seem to be making maybe the opposite argument than that I would make, which is I kind of still think the Astros are going to win the series.
Oh, I do too.
Because they essentially the entire Red Sox pitching staff has been like really wobbly.
I'm just trying to explain how they're up 2-1 shaky.
Sure.
Is that they're so good.
Their offense is good enough. Their lineup is deep enough.
Like, yeah, that they can look shaky and they can still be up 2-1 against the Astros. I think if this continues, it's hard to see them continue it to win two games before the Astros win three.
Yeah.
But who knows? I feel like this series feels like the World Series.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, this last game ended up being a blowout, but like, or the one that we just witnessed, but it feels like this is like the heavyweight fight and like the Dodgers Brewers is the undercard.
That's interesting. I don't feel that way.
I don't think it's not like a coverage thing. That's just the vibe I'm getting. I think we'll get to the Brewers Dodgers series, but to me this feels like these two teams are like wanting, like they really want to beat the other team, and it's like being, to me it feels like the World Series. I don't know. Like I'm trying to think of like a parallel. Or like the last time that's happened.
Well, I mean, the parallel maybe to not this extreme, but would be the NBA, which shout out to NBA opening night, but the Rockets and Warriors series in the playoffs last year.
That's a good parallel.
The vibe that you're getting?
Only like without the Cavs. I know the Cavs weren't as like strong last year, but like theoretically the Cavs could have beaten the winner of that. You know
no,
I, mean?
I don't think so. Last year it was like the Warriors and the Rockets are by far the two best teams in the NBA.
And again, baseball is way different, and I don't think automatically that the Astros or Red Sox will beat the NL team. But to me, it does feel like this is like...
I guess I don't feel like either the Red Sox or the Astros or both have looked that good in this series.
Well, I
guess that's like a hard thing to say when they're like playing each other, so it's like back and forth. But like there haven't been any dominant performances in the way that Verlander was dominant last year, and that Astros and Yankees series still went to seven games, right?
I think it went seven. Yeah, I think it went seven.
But Verlander was dominant the whole time. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
like if there were more performances like that on either side where I was like, oh, Verlander, or like, oh, Sale, like, either of those guys are going to win every start that they make the rest of the postseason.
Or if it was like Mookie Betts is going to go like nine.
Yeah,
first,
yeah, he's just like
in the series
lit
with three
up,
home runs.
Although
yeah.
Alex Bregman is like gotten on base in 20 out of the 27 plate appearances
he's had
in the ALCS, which is fucking crazy. And finally, opening my eyes because everybody was like, "Oh, this is Alex Bregman's breakout year," and I kind of was rolling my eyes the whole time of like, "Yeah, yeah," but like,
no,
he's crushing it.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Or if like either of the bullpens was like really lights out, or either or both of the offenses had been like consistently clicking. Like
everything has clicked
in moments for all of these teams, right? And in the ALCS in these three games so far, it's like there have been moments where everything clicked, but not consistently throughout an entire game, even, it's felt like.
No, that's true. I get that. I get what you're saying.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. I really, like I said, I think the Astros still, in my mind, are a slight favorite, despite the mathematical odds probably being against them. And I would take the Astros as the favorite over either the Dodgers or the Brewers in the World Series. I'm not sure if I would take the Red Sox. It would be much closer to a push.
I think I would take the AL team regardless.
The Red Sox pitching has like looked really bad.
It has looked really bad throughout
the playoffs.
But like
Kimbrel has not been locked down. Their middle relievers have been very shaky. Sale has been up and down. Price has been who everybody thinks Clayton Kershaw is in the playoffs. The only guy that's been consistent is Nate Eovaldi, which is like not the thing you want to say, like potentially looking into the World Series. Is like, yeah, we're going with our horses, Eovaldi and Porcello, you know, like
that's Porcello's a great out of the pen.
And is like one inning stint. That's true.
But what have the Dodgers or Brewers been showing you that what consistency have the Dodgers and Brewers been showing you that overcomes the Red Sox inconsistency?
I guess that is a good point, but I guess I'm counter arguing to your claim that like either of the AL teams would be like an immediate lock to win the World Series.
I didn't say lock.
Yeah, you did.
I specifically said I wouldn't say that they're a lock.
No, you said that.
Rewind
like,
the tape.
Let's go to playback.
I said that they'd be favored, but I don't. I specifically said it's not like the Cavs or it's not like the Rockets.
You said that the Red Sox and the Astros were playing the World Series right now.
I said it feels like the World Series. I said it feels like that series.
I guess I don't know what that means then.
Because that. It feels like the heavyweight bout, and that's what I said, and this is the undercard, this being the Dodgers-Brewers, because we're watching it, and I pointed to it, which everyone could see, because those are the two big winners. It's the defending champ. We were talking off mic before how the Astros are turning into villains somehow in the league, and the Red Sox are already villains. Like, this feels like the World Series in the sense of, like, the stakes, how much they care. Like, if that's what feel to me, it feels like the way that they're approaching this and the way these games are being played is that's the World Series. And what I'm worried about is that there's going to be a hangover. That's where the Dodgers and the Brewers can sneak in. And it's going to feel like whoever comes out on the Astros Red Sox World Series, they beat the best team. Whoever wins that will feel like they beat the other best team, and then they'll not take this seriously.
How does the Dodgers and Brewers series not feel like it has those same stakes and those, like, how are they not playing it in the same way to you?
I feel like they're trying. I guess. As like a baseball fan, I feel like that I almost feel like the Brewers Dodgers is more compelling to me, or has been.
Oh, I definitely think it's been more compelling.
But, like, I guess if you take just like the step back and you're just thinking about it, it's like you're watching a team with basically no starters pitch.
The Brewers.
The Dodgers have been wildly inconsistent
all
year.
Hey, dude, Gio Gonzalez has thrown 18 pitches so far, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Four games, yeah. Jeez. And he hasn't given up any runs. The Dodgers, I feel like, have been so inconsistent in this series already in three games. It's been a microcosm of their season. I definitely think Kershaw getting lit up was like not what anybody really wanted to see because everyone's tired of that narrative, even though it was fun to see Woodruff hit a home run off of
that
it.
That was like, crazy.
I guess what I'm saying is that like this feels like, you know, like, oh, there it is. There's a run. There's Chris Taylor scoring a run.
Score update from 12 hours in the past is that the Dodgers are now leading 1-0. Brian Dozier just did a weird gesture that where he made tears roll down his face for some reason.
Did Dozier get that hit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I guess what I'm saying is that not that this isn't more intense or compelling, it just feels like I don't know. I'm having trouble putting it. It just feels like the other series is the
here's the what big, I'm because they're the going to hypothesize.
No one gives a shit about the Brewers, I guess is what I'm saying on a grand scale. So already that's
but
out.
they're the underdog. I feel like they're the bandwagon team in the playoffs.
But I don't think that they're getting the same. Like last year, it felt like everyone was rooting for the Astros. Probably, I mean, they're playing it. You know, like I don't get the sense that they're like the underdog that everyone's rooting for. I feel like they're the underdog everyone's rooting for because no one wants to root for the Dodgers, Astros, or Red Sox. Hmm. Like it's by default, just from like media I've read and like reactions. Like,
well, part of it. Okay, I have
does that,
thoughts.
Does that kind of make sense what I'm saying? Like,
I think I've seen a lot of people sort of rooting for the Brewers. Maybe you're right that they don't have the same undercurrent of support, but I have some theories here about why you're feeling what you're feeling. One is that this Dodgers Brewers series really feels like both teams are throwing everything at the wall right now.
Oh yeah.
And so they don't maybe feel quite as like predestined as the Astros or Red Sox, which, you know, those two teams, their lineups are the same every game. They don't make a ton of offensive substitutions in part because of the DH rather than pinch hitters. They're not being managed as aggressively in that way. Yeah, like the Dodgers have like really heavy platoons that they try to get
like
to.
Mid game platoons.
Yeah. The Brewers obviously are managing their bullpen very aggressively. And I think that is simultaneously, I think that bullpen management technique is the reason why people are like not getting behind maybe the Brewers in the same way that they got behind the Astros, is because the Astros, it's easy to get behind Justin Verlander leading a team to its first ever title. It's much harder to get behind a team leading, or behind Craig Counsell leading a team to its first ever title by like selective bullpen management.
I think that's a good way to put it. I was just thinking about that too. Is the Astros, you can point to like Verlander, they have Altuve.
They got
George
stars,
Springer,
yeah.
Like was like, you know, and like,
and they also had the narrative of like coming out, like those guys coming from this like god awful team.
Yeah,
for so
and they had
years.
The cover, the Sports Illustrated. I mean, right. They had tons of narratives going for them. But it's like Lorenzo Cain's old news. Kristen Yelich, people are freaking out about, but kind of doesn't.
He hasn't
feel
been
like
playing
he's grabbing,
great.
Yeah, and he's not grabbing on the same way as like Altuve or anyone.
He was great. Like he hasn't been great basically the whole playoffs, with the exception of the tiebreaker game.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like, who's the? Who are you getting excited
Who's
about
the face?
On the
Orlando
Brewers?
Arcia?
Well, yes, yesterday, yeah.
He's hit 3 postseason home runs.
Remember last year when I was making, or last week or whatever?
Yeah, you really were.
I jokingly called that.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably part of it, and I think there's just nobody, like Moustakas isn't going to be the guy.
Yeah, both of the teams are so like modular that like, it's hard to, they don't have as many faces, you know, that you're seeing come up every, like Moose will get pulled for, or like something, you know, with the exception of maybe Yelich and Kane on the Brewers, it feels like everybody is fair game to be pulled at any second for like a better matchup. And for the Dodgers, similarly, basically everybody except like Turner and Machado, which is interesting. And I find very compelling, but I understand the like backlash, and it almost feels like, especially with the Brewers, like broadcasters and some old school reporters are almost like rooting for them to fail.
It feels like that for sure.
Like
especially
like Smoltz, you know, Smoltz is such a terrible announcer. I really am bummed by him.
He used to be. Remember, like, his first 2 years, he was good, and then he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, well, he really is not on board with you know, so many elements of the statistical revolution that have like come into play, like, about launch angle and shifts and like
barrels and things like that.
He's like really anti that kind of stuff, which is like a bummer to listen to.
Here's a great thing I'm going to say. Poor Joe Buck.
Yeah, we were
in the Slack thread.
Yeah, we were talking about it in our league Slack thread yesterday about how Joe Buck never has a good partner.
And I've come, and I think I mentioned it here before, I used to hate Joe Buck and now I like him, but I feel like Joe Buck, if he had a good, like, analytical minded partner, he would be open to that too.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
He just rides the waves of whatever needs to be popular because he's a national announcer.
I think, like, Joe Buck and Jessica Mendoza would be an interesting pairing.
Get Mendoza out of that terrible booth.
Yeah,
that'd
be interesting to me. Hey, speaking of Sunday Night Baseball, Dan Schulman is calling the national radio broadcasts for the Dodgers series, which I didn't realize.
I missed him.
I like him a lot. I had another thing that I was going to say about this. Oh, I was actually thinking about Craig Counsell and these bullpen moves, right? And I think that he's playing it as well as he can. I think, like, some of them have been questionable to me, but when you're making that many moves, like, you're going to get nitpicked. Like, pulling Hader after 8 pitches yesterday to go to Jeffress ended up working out, but Jeffress loaded the bases.
Barely,
and it's like very stressful. You know, Jeffress has been pitching like garbage, like not the guy I would have gone with. But I think if the Brewers peter out in this series or even the World Series, there's going to be a lot of talk about how you can't win with that strategy. And I think that talk is going to be dumb. I think that, you know, it's a real crapshoot when you get to this point. And, like, say Jeffress was pitching well, as he did the entire season, the Brewers would be winning this series 3-0.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like a gamble. And what it reminded me of was I was a big Suns fan in high school and college when they had Steve Nash and they had this Mike D'Antoni offense that was like really heavily based on threes and like really high scoring. And they sort of like had a bunch of slip ups in the playoffs.
What was the name of that? What was the name?
7 Seconds or Less.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, they were so fun.
Yeah.
But like there was this prevailing narrative that like those teams can't win in the playoffs. Like these Mike D'Antoni offenses, they're too reliant on threes. And like, if you have a bad shooting night, you're going to lose the game or whatever. Cut to now where the Golden State Warriors have won 3 out of the last 4 championships running essentially the same offense. And it just is, I mean,
but they also
with
have
tweaks.
Like the greatest 3-point shooter of all time.
Right. So that,
like, could D'Antoni have won with Steph Curry?
My point exactly is not like, that strategy was bad. Like, they didn't have the horses for it, or they had these like random slip ups that will happen to any team in the playoffs. Like, if luck had broken their way, or if they had had, you know, 5% better talent.
I mean,
and so like, if that is the narrative that comes with the Brewers losing, of you can't win with this strategy, like, I think that is the wrong narrative. The right narrative is you can win with this strategy, and they got really close. Maybe they just needed one more good pitcher, or they needed their pitchers who have been good to pitch to their talent level rather than to buckle in this scenario. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. I think right when you first started talking about it, I was like, well, you just have to have the personnel, and the personnel has to be clicking.
Yeah. But so that's true of any strategy.
Yeah, I think I don't disagree with you. I disagree with you, but I do think that D'Antoni and this Counsell strategy is a little feast or famine, or I guess high risk, high reward. Like, so I think that it has an easier potential fail because if one pitcher happens to have one bad night one time, you lose that game. Like you said.
Yeah.
Like the Brewers could be 3-0 right now. Like, so I do think that it's a little bit feast and famine. I don't think it's a bad strategy. I just think it's easier for it to topple.
Yeah,
it's just
for sure.
Your foundation, I mean, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
Right. And the counter argument is based on this idea of like, oh, well, you'd rather have Justin Verlander. And, like, of course you'd rather have Justin Verlander.
It's
like,
the same thing with...
But the argument is, like, well, you'd rather have a good starting pitcher. It's like, yes, you'd rather have better players than not good players. Like, that's the entire point.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. I think it's inarguable that the Brewers have maximized their pitching talent going to Hader for these as much as they can. And, what's the alternative? You know, like, they don't have good starting pitchers. You could argue he should have tried to stick with Wade Miley for another inning in game two, but Wade Miley's not good.
I mean, what the alternative is saying Wade Miley's in the middle of a hot streak and I think it's going to last.
Yeah, like, right.
Which is
no more
of
a sure
of a gamble.
Bet. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But, like, feels more like, I went with my guy and he didn't come through and tough luck this time.
It's
traditional.
It's a very traditional way of thinking about pitcher roles, but the upside for a guy like Craig Counsell is if Wade Miley fails in that scenario, you're not going to get flack for it. You're going to the narrative from the broadcasters and the traditional media is going to be like, well, he had pitched 5-1 hit innings. Like, what are you going to do? Pull a guy?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah. Because you're the third time through the order.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I guess, you know, I think Counsell has done a very good job in general. I think he's, like, I appreciate his risks. I also think, like, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing way to play a baseball game is to see, like, six relief pitchers who you haven't heard of. And so I sympathize with that of, like, we're not used to it, and it maybe is not the most fun way to absorb a baseball game, especially because you don't get the narrative of the starting pitcher and you don't get to watch him battle and evolve and change his strategy or whatever throughout the game. But I think that the arguments that, like, he's costing his team something with it are flat wrong.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that sometimes he could be, but that's the risk of the strategy.
Right. Yeah.
Like, which is the other way around. I think the one potential, and this doesn't happen very, so he's still playing percentages. What is unfortunate is when you burn through six pitchers in four innings and now all of a sudden it's tied in the 11th.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened. Like, Joe Maddon, I think, ran into that big time in the play-in or the wild card game.
Yeah.
Like, the Rockies had bench players and people to move around. They're all bad, so it didn't the advantage wasn't really there. They had a bunch of bad players. They still won. But it's like, I think that sometimes is where with Counsell, when you're taking Hader out after eight pitches or whatever, I mean, and then you're like, cool, if this works, it's going to work, but, like, what happens if kind of worst-case scenario happens?
Yeah, they're all calculated risks, right? And so, like,
sure, I mean, it's not like Counsell isn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a moron, but
yeah.
I think that's where it gets frustrating when you're looking at the 11th inning and either a relief pitcher who shouldn't be going more innings is going in, or you have to bring in a starter that, or, you know, Gio Gonzalez has to pitch, and now Counsell has to figure out a new game four strategy. You know, like,
yeah,
those things. And again, it's not that Counsell isn't thinking about that, because he wouldn't have this job or be here if he wasn't considering these things. But as a fan, that's where it could get very frustrating, where it's like, well, fuck, what if Hader would have pitched another, you know, five batters? Then we wouldn't be in this mess that
right.
we're suddenly in. This is all hypothetical. But, I mean, Maddon does it all the time, and it drives me crazy. Like, that's why I, like, there are times
speak
when I'm like,
passionately,
Maddon, why are you, like, this, like, sometimes you have to feel like, I would rather just see the guy in blow it than to stress about, like, it's sometimes too much tinkering.
Yeah, micromanaging. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is a fine line, and I've certain there were a ton of games this year where Rick Renteria was managing the White Sox and brought in four pitchers in one inning, and that is excruciating to watch for sure.
But so, I think that's why it's like risk reward to me. It's like, if it works, then it's like, fine, whatever, we won.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work, then it's just like, I guess, extra frustrating, or it feels like, well, we lost anyway. Why did you have to put me through that? Like,
yeah.
And that's probably irrational, but, like, it's not. I mean, it's sport. This is an irrational thing that we're doing.
Being a fan is not always rational, for sure.
So I guess, like, I get your point, and I totally agree with you. I don't think it should be like a. If the Brewers don't win the World Series, shouldn't be like the strategy that's now under derision, because, like, it didn't work. Look what Council did. He tinkered his team into the ground. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He was trying to, I love trying new strategies.
Yeah.
But I do, I see some parts of the other side of it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think, I mean, the thing is he knows. Like, he must know. Like,
yeah, he definitely does.
Like, sometimes I feel like people are like, this manager doesn't know what the fuck. He's like, Craig Council obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, if Tony La Russa was still managing and tried that, I think we could be like, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Right? Or like Ned Yost.
That's a perfect example. He has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah. He's
like, he knows what he's doing.
Going on gut.
Yeah. So then you can start to think, like, I don't think he has a feel for this. But I feel like Council's, like, genuinely trying a brand new strategy.
Yeah, he's playing the odds. Here's a weird sort of, like, analogy that came up. But it's almost like playing poker, you know, where it's, like, he's playing the odds as he knows them. And,
sure.
Like, but that still only means maybe he's going to be right, like, 65% of the time.
And I think, I mean, you brought it up when we first started talking about this. Like, it's the playoffs, so it's a microscope and it's a crapshoot, because you can get away with that through a whole season. Because if you lose five games because of it, like, you also probably won nine.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
The thing with, like, managing and, like, especially picking pitchers is, like, you can make the right move and still fail. Like, you could manage the pitching staff perfectly and have Josh Hader in the game at the exact have Josh Hader in the game in the ninth inning of game seven
facing
of the World Series
hit,
facing
like,
Brian Dozier Dozier was at the plate last night and Dozier could still hit a grand slam like because there's a 5% chance that Dozier's going to hit a grand slam no matter who he's facing at what point in that situation.
Oh, sure.
Like
you could throw a perfect breaking ball that is out of the zone, but you throw your bat at it and it squeaks down the line. Like that
exactly.
Shit. That's like the dumbest thing about baseball. But
the fun thing.
Well, it's fun, but it's also really the dumbest thing is how much just very stupid luck there is.
Oh, no doubt.
I think Gonzalez just hurt himself coming off the mound.
Yeah. Twisted his ankle or something.
That would be a bummer.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it doesn't look that bad, just one of those.
Seems like a type of thing that happens in basketball every day.
Yeah, you could walk it off.
So
what do you think about the Dodgers in this series thus far?
This is going to sound... I don't know where this is coming from. Like, if it just comes from fatigue. I don't think the Dodgers are fun to watch. And I think Kershaw's fun to watch.
A lot of Angelinos angry.
I know. I know you love Puig. I'm kind of over Puig.
Oh, I love Puig.
I guess he's not backing it up enough for me to care. Like, you know what I mean?
He was pretty clutch at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, he was. I don't know. Like,
I love Justin Turner. There's a fatigue element. Manny Machado is like weird these days. Like he's weird to watch these days. Did you see his quote that was like, "Well, hustle's not for me."
Yeah,
or something like that.
I don't like that controversy. It's just like also like because I was at that Dodgers playoff game and they freaked out for Machado and I was like, "This feels weird, man. Like this isn't your guy. This is like your
he's like a hired gun.
This is a hired gun." And I guess I know that that's been going on for years. You can't blame the Dodgers, but like that part feels weird. If like he's the guy that carries them for I don't know, like Grandal's been a disaster.
That's the craziest thing of either LCS for me is how bad Grandal has
been. It's like the yips almost at this point.
Yeah, he's like one of easily the five best catchers in baseball. And I was looking at baseball reference or baseball prospectus stats today, and they have their warp. Not
oh,
warp.
Sure. Yeah, the warp,
which incorporates catcher framing, which none of the other wins above replacement systems do. And by that measure, Grandal was like the 16th most valuable position player in baseball this year.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he is a disaster.
Yeah, I'm like secretly delighted by it because I really want the White Sox to sign him. And I'm
that's right.
Every pass ball, his contract goes down another $1 million. Yeah. Another team out of the running. That being said, besides that selfish, vindictive part of me, like I feel bad for the dude.
Me too.
That is like a harsh spotlight to be under. And like he has made some mistakes for sure. And like he's in his head. Like those at-bats that he had in game three were pretty ugly with like runners on base
For
and
sure.
in game one with runners on base. But I feel like he is for sure going to be the scapegoat of the series if the Dodgers lose, despite the fact that like he was a huge contributor. Like if Austin Barnes is the everyday starting catcher and plays like he did this year, the Dodgers don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely don't win the division. Yeah. Well, then they don't make the playoffs.
Like the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks maybe have that spot, you know?
I totally agree. I don't know. I think it might just be fatigue that they're not that fun to watch. But, like, they haven't done anything this series that's made me be like, the fucking Dodgers are back, baby. You know, like,
yeah.
That's why I said it feels like a microcosm of the whole season.
Well,
like,
that,
the Astros
Turner,
showed us that they're...
That Turner dinger was fun in game two. That, like...
The Kershaw game I was at was super... Like, they're definitely fun.
Oh, Gonzalez is coming out now.
Oh, boy. It's not that they're never fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're playing small ball.
Right.
Like, in a way that's, like, zero fun.
Yeah.
Just, like, in general... Maybe it's just because they do have so many platoons. It's like, cool, David Freeze. Or like right now, Austin Barnes was up. It's like, awesome. I get to watch Austin Barnes. Like,
yeah, it's weird. I'm definitely not used to seeing like 15 hitters.
Yeah.
15 different hitters in a game. I love Muncy. It sucks to me that Muncy doesn't, like, when Muncy's not in the game, I'm like,
right? It's like it's,
I get that you're playing the percentages.
Kiki Hernandez is so fun to watch, but, like, you won't see him for a while.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying for sure. There is, again, it's sort of similar to the bullpen stuff where it's just, like, there is aesthetic value lost. And, like, part of what is fun about baseball is the aesthetic value of, like, seeing your favorite players in big moments. Or, like, if you're a more casual fan, like, seeing players you've even ever heard of in big moments.
Exactly, yeah.
Where it's like, in game two or, game three, the bases were loaded in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and Brian Dozier was the pinch hitter.
Right.
And Dozier has only been a Dodger for 5 weeks or something like that. So if you're like a casual fan, that's like a fucking bummer probably.
A bummer.
You could have been seeing Matt Kemp or like somebody who you've rooted for a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Or any, like, I mean, you can't, I guess I don't know who's in the lineup at the time. Like, so I don't know who was available. I can't remember who was available. But
well,
like
a bunch of dudes were already spent by like the platooning because of... So it's like...
Someone came in the fourth inning.
Yeah, and it's like that's a better percentage play to bring them in earlier in that situation.
But then you have Brian
but
Dozier.
But then you have Brian Dozier. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm actually rooting for the Brewers because of the novelty of it, even though they're the enemy of the Cubs, but like obviously the best, most fun story would be the Brewers winning the World Series.
Yeah.
Although Red Sox Dodgers World Series would be interesting just because it's actually never happened since the teens. I think Babe Ruth was on the Red Sox the last time the Dodgers and Red Sox met in the World Series. Which I guess interesting because they're such iconic.
Either way,
teams.
I'm rooting for the National League team. Like, Brewers would be very fun, and I probably lean slightly towards them, but it would be very fun to be in Los Angeles when the Dodgers win the World Series. It doesn't feel to me like this particular iteration of the Dodgers is the most fun team that could do that. Like, I think you're right. Like, it'd be more fun if Corey Seager was healthy and, like, Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen were at the height of their powers or, like, Walker Buehler was, like, a little bit more established. That kind of stuff, I think, is true, but I think if the Dodgers do win the World Series, this team will be beloved regardless. Like, people will be like,
Dodger. Because also they're scrappy, they're in a division, like, you know, like they weren't like the flashy team of 2017, but like, I do think that I don't know, I'll root for the Dodgers over the Red Sox probably, but...
So let's
undecided Dodgers Astros who I'll root for.
Yeah, I will be rooting for the Dodgers for sure if it's Dodgers Astros. But let's revisit our predictions that we made two episodes ago. Now that we are, because I believe that I had these four teams in the LCS. So little pat on the back to me. You were sort of. You picked but didn't pick the Cubs. You were afraid of jinxing the Cubs, but you essentially picked the Cubs.
Yeah.
But you had picked the Dodgers otherwise. I would think you had Dodgers Rockies in the NLCS. And did you have the Red Sox or did you have the Yankees? I don't remember.
Oh, no, because I picked the A's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely, I think I had.
So you had Red Sox, Astros then.
Yeah, I think I had Astros. I had an Astros-Dodgers rematch because I picked the Dodgers to win the whole thing because
right.
I said that there would be a third round next year.
Right. So you had, and I had
right?
Astros.
I believe you did.
And then I had Astros Brewers.
That's right.
In the World Series, and I picked the Astros.
Yeah, yeah. And my non-wink Cub was Dodgers Astros.
Yeah,
yeah.
So are you sticking with those two teams for the World Series at this point?
I don't have any reason not to.
And are you sticking with the Dodgers beating the Astros?
Yeah, I'll stick until I see a reason not to. I think part of me thinks that the Brewers will win this series for some reason, but I mean we're watching a game right now where it looks like the Dodgers, it's only the second inning, the Dodgers only up 1-0, but it really looks like the Dodgers are going to win this game.
Yeah, well, the Brewers starter is out, the Dodgers are already winning,
they have two
slugger Rich with, Hill is at the plate with two batters on base
punt. I think that both series will be back and forth, and I wouldn't be surprised if they both went seven.
Yeah.
And, like, I do think, like, both game sevens will be really cool because I think these teams are going to get really tired of each other.
Yeah.
And which I think is good as long as no, like, violence happens. Like, when the teams are, like...
You like a little bit of chippiness, a little bit of attitude,
for
sure.
You want the attitude. You want that. You want them to be, like... You want every plate to be, like, I just want to fucking beat this team. You know? Like, that's the attitude you want. Bad bunt for Hill. Good play for Peralta.
Yeah, very nice play. The runner, if you don't recall what we're talking about.
Which you probably don't.
Rich Hill just tried to bunt, and the runner got thrown out of third that he was trying to bunt over, which looks to be Puig from his unhappy expression in the dugout. Yeah, it was Puig.
Yeah, it's Puig.
Poor Puig. I'll stick with my picks as well.
Yeah. I'm like a big
no reason to change
of, like, unless like a huge injury happens or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big proponent of you might as well stick with your picks.
Yeah.
Stick with
your picks. It's our theme song for this show now.
Greggy Wynette.
Yeah. cool. Well, we will be back next week to preview the World Series. We'll know the teams by then. And our guest will be Rhea Butcher, comedian and host of another very fine baseball podcast, Three Swings, I believe it's called.
And they're a Dodger fan, so that's going to be either this.
It's
going to
be
really
cool
or
a bummer.
Or a bummer. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk either way and very excited for the World Series. I think, luckily, you know, our sort of theory that the LCS would be better than the Division Series because the best teams won all four LDS has come true, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think these have already felt like better series, even if they... I guess they can theoretically both still go five. But if the Brewers make the World Series, that's another one to cross off my list of teams in my lifetime who have never been to the World Series.
That's true.
82 is their only one.
That's true. I am constantly impressed and weirded out by your like encyclopedic knowledge of things like that. But I don't.
It's significant, but it's like, you know, Brewers have never been.
For sure. Well, that'll do it. Stick around next week. Thanks again to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench Baseball. Thank you to Moonbounce for the transition music. Thank you guys for listening. Almost the end of the season, but we could still use those reviews in iTunes. You can still follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. So we'll talk to you next week. See you then.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.